The people of God said, Amen. Thank you, choir. We are now into the eighth day of our 90-day adventure in prayer. Eighth day. We are learning about the Lord's Prayer. But we have a problem. Because all of us feel like, I know the Lord's Prayer. I can even pray in my sleep. And we pastors are, of course, guilty of that because we will tack on the Lord's Prayer after everything, right? After a meeting, right? After some silence in a place, we say, let's say the Lord's Prayer. And 30 seconds later, we're done with that. So all of us feel like, well, I know the Lord's Prayer. What's so great about that? But Jesus, as we know, taught the Lord's Prayer when the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus gave this Lord's Prayer, this 30-second prayer that we can say. But I think we missed the point. Jesus is our teacher. So when he gives us a Lord's Prayer, he offers it to us as a model prayer. This is how a prayer ought to be. I learned this when I studied the life of Martin Luther, who began the great Reformation of the church in the 16th century. I wanted to know what made him so different. How could he change the church like that? And I learned that he would get up early in the morning, around 5, and for 3 hours he would pray. And according to his diary and the records, he would say that he prayed the Lord's Prayer for an hour. When I first read that, I thought, what? 30-second prayer and you pray for an hour? What Luther said was, Jesus taught us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is the model. So what he did was that he would pray each line of the Lord's Prayer and he would stop. Our Father who art in heaven. Stop. And he would pray that. He would think about that. He would ask God, what does it mean for me today? And how do you want me to live that out in my life today? And of course, in his day, he was trying to change this huge church so that you would reflect who God was. Martin Luther would write, a Christian will have prayed more than enough when he has prayed the Lord's Prayer aright. So it seems to me that when Jesus taught us this prayer, he said two things. He was saying all of us can pray, number one. And number two, he's telling us all of us can become what we call the prayer warrior. We can become better at prayer. We can improve. Last several weeks, I've learned that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will now be hitting the lecture circuit at the end of the year. And as I was reading the articles, he told me that the former President Clinton, during the past 11 years, has given around 500 speeches, usually about an hour. And for every speech, he was paid $189,000. Now, according to the article, he said that Hillary would be receiving more than $37,000 more than Bill, over $200,000 for every speech that she would give. $200,000 is more than her annual salary of $186,000 as the Secretary of State. Kobe Bryant, the star of the other team there, played 60 games in the season. Last year, he was paid $30 million. So that means per game, he receives $500,000. Hour-long game, right? But in fact, last year, he played about 38 minutes. He didn't even play 1 hour, 38 minutes. So that comes out to around I figure $750,000 per hour. If you want to meet Kobe Bryant, it will take you $750,000 for an hour. Well, the average Methodist pastor salary last year, what a segue, right? The average was $55,000 per year. So if we put in about 60 hours per week, that comes down to $18 per hour, double the minimum pay that President Obama has suggested of $9. So here we have it, $200,000 with Hillary, $750,000 an hour with Kobe, and a Jackson an hour with me. Well, what would you say is an hour with you worth? But more importantly, what would an hour with God be worth to us? One example of a prayer warrior that John Wesley, the beginner of our Methodist Church, suggested that we should follow was named Brother Lawrence. He was a monk in the 17th century, born in eastern France. At age 18, he became a Christian. He was converted by looking at a tree, of all things. He said the tree showed him how God cared for us and that the tree was a sign of God's love to him. And that never left him throughout his life. But he was from a poor family, so he joined the army to escape from poverty. But later on, he joined the monastery and took the name of Lawrence of the Resurrection. Now, he was assigned to work in the kitchen in the monastery, and throughout his life, that's where he stayed, among the pots and pans. But he was in that kitchen that Brother Lawrence learned about what it meant to be a prayer. See, what he suggests is, instead of us trying to get close to God in a special place like a church or in your closet, he said, I learned the secret of how to be with God in the place where I live and work. The kitchen for him was the place where God was the most fully present for him. Of course, he said it took an effort for him to practice the presence of God, the name of his book. But as he would wash the pans, as he would cook, as he would struggle with the dishes, in that place, he recognized that God was with him. That in that washing of the pans, God was the most present in the world, in the universe. As you know, we've just recently moved back here, and Christy and I have visited a couple well-known restaurants. We thought I would go online to Yelp and put in Mountain View, and they will give me a whole list of things. Well, I did something that I probably shouldn't have. I went on Zagat and found out what was the most, the best restaurant in this area. Well, they gave me a few names in San Francisco, but in San Jose, they say, the most extravagant and the place that we should go, if you know anything about food, is called a French restaurant called La Forêt. Now, I don't know how many of you have been there. Okay, wow. I should be in your family. The tasting dinner is $130 per person. Now, if I were to show Christy the menu and describe it to her, the wonderful dishes in their restaurant, what would Christy say? I would tell her, look at this picture. Doesn't that smell and look great? Look at the menu. You could choose from all these wonderful things that this top chef has made. She wouldn't be impressed, would she? She would not. The only way that she would be impressed would be, yes, if I would take her to La Forêt and make a reservation weeks in advance and be willing to cough up that dough. It is only when you taste the food and when you're there for the ambiance that Christy might agree that this is the best restaurant in San Jose. See, I could tell you many hours about how great prayer is, how wonderful it is for us to draw closer to God. But they will be like me showing you a picture of the menu or describing to you what they serve us at that wonderful place. The only way you will know what prayer is to pray for yourself. Only way that you can know God is not for me to describe for you how wonderful it is to know God, but it's for you to know this God who comes to us. Because after all, we have a very simple definition of prayer. Prayer is simply conversation with God who loves us. And that is something that all of us can do. I'll look at a few phrases from the Lord's Prayer. The first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven." The first word, Father, sometimes bothers some of us. It sounds like God is a male. But don't get caught up in that. Words are simply descriptions. Our Father, when Jesus used that word, was not even Father, it was Abba, right? Words that kids use to call their parents, Papa, Daddy, you name it. A word of endearment, closeness, relationship that our children use with us. It could be Mama. This God who made the universe expects us to relate to Him as our children relate to us, as our parent, as our loving moms and dads. But this is our Father, our Daddy, our Abba. Not mine to control or possess, but one who expects us to be part of this big family. So when we pray our Father, we can't simply pray, God bless this nation only. That's too small for our God. We can't pray our Father and say, well, bless just my business and don't worry about other employees. Our Father includes everyone to be happy. Jesus says, this is the God that we pray to. Now, that takes time for us because we are all caught up in our small world, my family, my nation, my neighborhood, my race, you name it. We are so caught up in so many boxes, so many prisons that we've created, society has made, to even to pray our Father takes a long time for us to understand this God. In our gospel reading, it says, Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, brought her best for Jesus. Now, for us Americans, our best is what? What is our greatest asset? You heard this. What is our greatest asset? The only asset that we all have, according to our American philosopher Napoleon Hill, what is it? Our time, right? Our time is our greatest asset. A student came before a spiritual mentor and asked, what is the value of a human being? So the teacher gave him a very expensive gemstone and said, I want you to take this to the market and find out how much this is worth, but never sell it. So he took it to a fruit vendor, and he said, how much would you give me for this gemstone? And the guy said, 2 oranges. So he went to the next stall, a vegetable store, and he asked the same question, and the man said, I'll give you 4 pounds of potatoes. Next, he went down to the a store where the owner knew something about metals. So he said, well, I'll give you 500 coins. So after a while, he moved through the marketplace and finally came to the jewelry shop. The owner took a look at this gemstone and said, this thing shouldn't be sold. This is priceless. Hold on to it. The student returned to his teacher and told him what he had heard. So the teacher asked him, well, now do you know how much a human being is worth? You could be worth 2 oranges or 4 pounds of potatoes or 500 coins, or you could be priceless. Depends on how you look at yourself. God waits for us to know us. And this God, time with him is priceless. We are willing to pay $200,000 with Hillary and almost $1 million with Kobe and even $20 with a pastor. But with God, priceless hour waits for us. I invite you to know God. And start off with the first phrase, our God, our Father, our Abba, our Mother who is in heaven. And get to know this God, because God is waiting for you wherever you are. Amen. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. May our lives be filled with you. Teach us to pray, Lord, that we may experience your presence in our lives every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.